Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to your one-stop shop for horror news, true crime, and real-life tales of the unexplained. Monsters at Midnight, The Revenge. Episodes of Monsters upload on a bi-weekly format every other Saturday. I'm your host, your favorite escaped madman loose on the airwaves terrorizing your eardrums, Matt Schaefer. We're back at it again in the year of our Lord 2024, and we're kicking it off with another old versus new. Lock your doors, bolt your windows, and turn out the lights. Monsters at Midnight, The Motherfucking Revenge rides again. Merry New Year! Hopefully this episode finds you well. Hope you had a safe and happy New Year celebration. And hopefully this episode sounds significantly better, because we finally got some new microphones here. Santa got me a couple new microphones here, so I'm pretty excited about that. Hopefully it sounds good, appeasing to your eardrums. Be running through the paces and taking feedback. You're maybe wondering why I said that this new episode, after taking a little break last week for the holidays, was going to be one that was going to be exciting. Well, it's coming. It's not this episode, but it is coming. But last minute, I had to figure out something else to talk about for today's episode. And since the episode that came out before Christmas wasn't holiday related, figure I might as well get in the holiday related episode now. Bring back old versus new. Everyone is probably familiar with the schlocky, controversial horror classic Silent Night, Deadly Night. But did you know that there is a pseudo remake, reimagining of it, that was released in 2012, simply called Silent Night? Which is now going to be ultimately confusing, since John Woo's latest movie was called that. This isn't a proper old versus new. It's oldish versus newish. Because Silent Night isn't a one-to-one remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night, but it does feature a lot of iconography that is synonymous with Silent Night, Deadly Night. But these are two interesting movies, and two movies that I enjoy quite a bit. So I thought, as it is just fucking snowing like crazy outside, it would be fun to talk a little bit about these two grotesque perversions of the sacred holiday of Christmas. So let's kick it off. Silent Night, Deadly Night, released in 1984. Directed by Charles E. Sellier Jr., written by Michael Hickey, rose quite a commotion when it was released, and when it was promoted. The famous poster with a chimney and someone in a Santa outfit holding an axe outside of the chimney. Mothers, Congress people, a lot of people were unhappy that this film was being released. They tried to get it pulled from theaters, but naturally, as the way it goes, the more of a stink you raise about something, the more it's going to drive people to it. It was a success during its opening week, grossing $2.5 million on a budget of $750,000. Which just goes to show that all press is good press. Quick synopsis here for you. The story concerns a young man named Billy who suffers from post-traumatic stress over witnessing his parents' murder on Christmas Eve by a man disguised as Santa Claus, and his subsequent upbringing in an abusive Catholic orphanage. In adulthood, the Christmas holiday leads him into a psychological breakdown, and he emerges as a spree killer, donning a Santa suit. I'm not gonna lie, I fucking love this movie. this is prime 80s slasher for me, where you have a lot of really bizarre, a lot of really bizarre ideas and characters and memorable characters and memorable kills, and it's all stewed together into something that's a little tasteless, but ultimately very, very fun. Low budget slashing goodness. Yeah, dude, from the jump, this movie is, it's just a goofy, wild, tasteless ride. You got Grandpa telling 5-year-old Billy that Santa punishes the ones who are naughty, and then he immediately sees, a gas station robber dressed as Santa murder both of his parents on Christmas Eve, no less. Oh man, you got to mention the Catholic orphanage. Wouldn't be a Christmas movie without some Yuletide dread in a Catholic orphanage. This movie is just a lot of fun. I actually really enjoy the character of Billy. I think he is sympathetic, and it makes sense why he goes on this rampage in the back half of the film. He's a likable character that a lot of really horrible things have happened to, and I think that's what makes him interesting as a killer in a slasher movie. It's because up till this point, pretty much every killer was some sort of evil. With the exception of Jason, I guess. Jason was also getting revenge for the death of his mother, but this paints a more interesting killer in this really low-budget, really tacky slasher movie. And you gotta mention the kills. Of course, this movie was pretty heavily censored when it was first released. Nowadays, it's not really a problem to find the extended cut, even though some of the footage is significantly lower quality because it was never properly, like, mastered. But you've got some fucking classic kills in this. The girl getting impaled on the mounted deer head. A lot of sharp bladed instruments. The kid getting beheaded while he's sledding. Fun movie. A little long at the tooth. It always seems like it loses a bit of steam towards the end when it seems more focused on the cops trying to catch up with Billy. But, yeah, no, this is a fun movie. If for whatever reason you are a fan of slasher movies, particularly of the early 80s, and have not checked this one out, I recommend it. I've been a fan of this movie ever since I saw it. A long time ago now. But, yeah, this movie's a real treat. Definitely worth checking out. Of course, there's a number of sequels. The immediate sequel, Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, is notoriously awful. Has the famous garbage day scene in it. But from what my understanding is, the majority of Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2 is just a clip show, which... lame. At that point, I don't even know if it really qualifies for being one of the worst movies ever made when it's like barely its own movie. I am curious to see part 3, given that it features Bill Moseley as the killer, but also Richard Boehmer and fucking Eric DeRay. So you got two actors from Twin Peaks in that movie. Yeah, and then 4 and 5, they kind of go the anthology route. 4 looks nuts. I watched the Cinema Snob review of 4. 4 looks fucking bizarre. Anything with Clint Howard in it as the villain is usually going to be a little strange, but I digress. I'm a big fan of the original Silent Night, Deadly Night. For a while, I had heard about this loose remake, Silent Night, directed by Stephen C. Miller, who is not who I'm thinking of. Never mind. It is who I'm thinking of. Yeah, he's directed a lot of, like, weird, like, action movies that have some really big names attached to them. But regardless, I had heard about this movie for a while, because it intrigued me that a movie sort of as notorious as Silent Night, Deadly Night got a remake. But this was sort of at the tail end of the era where everything was being remade. But I give this movie a lot of credit because it's not, like I said at the top, a one-to-one remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night. It's more of a reinvention, a reimagining. It plays a different game with sort of similar toys to the original. Brief synopsis here on Letterboxd. The police force of a remote Midwestern town search for a killer Santa Claus who is picking off citizens on Christmas Eve. Oh yeah, this movie takes place in a fake Wisconsin town. That's kind of fun. The biggest thing that drew me to this movie is that it stars Malcolm McDowell, which is, this is around the era too where Malcolm McDowell would just kind of show up where, I mean, he's still kind of doing that now that I mention it, although he is getting really old, but Malcolm McDowell would just show up wherever there's a paycheck, it seems like. I gotta say, he's not very good in this movie. You can tell he's not taking this very seriously. He's just kind of working it for the sake of working it. But it's always a pleasure seeing him turn up in the weirdest places. On the flip side, Jamie King is actually really a good lead. She's tough, she's smart, she's sympathetic. She plays a good cop in a sort of shitty situation. This movie is interesting. I've reviewed this movie twice on Letterboxd. I haven't seen this movie in a handful of years now. But the thing that impressed me both times I watched it is just simply the fact that this movie is actually way better than it has a right to be. For one, it's shot very well. There's a lot of cool cinematography, slick camera work, and also really good lighting. That plays with a lot of shadows and Christmas lighting, and the entire finale is sort of bathed in red and green colors in this blacked out police station. This is a good looking movie, better than it really has a right to be. I forgot to mention that this had a limited theatrical release, but it was mostly, for the most part, like, straight to video. It was released to video, like, not even a week after its limited theatrical release. Not only that, this movie is paced really well. It moves at a good pace, and the kills are fucking brutal. Sort of bringing to mind the idea of the loose reinterpretation. There is some familiar iconography, obviously. There is a killer in a Santa outfit, but we also do have a woman being impaled on a mounted deer head. Famously, the poster for this one has Santa with a flamethrower, which I believe is actually, yes, this is tied to a real-life true crime event. The Covina Massacre on Christmas Eve in 2008. Bruce Jeffrey Pardo opened fire at a Christmas party at his ex-wife's house and burned the house down, killing multiple people, including himself. He wore a Santa outfit during the attack. This is an interesting way to remake a movie. Make it part remake, part interpretation of a true crime story. But yeah, there's also there's a weird sequence in a motel where they're doing like a porn shoot, and one of the killer puts one of the women through a wood chipper feet first. There's some gnarly ass kills in this movie. This movie reminds me a lot of the 2006 Black Christmas, where it's going for the shock value, it's going for the tastelessness. But I think this movie is ultimately more effective because it doesn't feel quite as manhandled by the studio, like we learned what happened with Black Christmas 2006. This feels pretty wholly its own idea. It's loud, it's tasteless, it is a balls-to-the-wall exploitation throwback and a remake of an exploitation film. And I think it succeeds. Do I think it's better than the original? Not necessarily, but also, again, this isn't really an old versus new. This is pretty much its own movie. It can stand on its own. It doesn't have to be labeled as a remake or a reinterpretation, because apart from a few moments, it really isn't. I like both of these movies equally, and I think that they're a lot of fun to treat yourself to during the holiday season. This one especially, I think, is the Silent Night 2012 is a little on the underrated side. Like I said, it, for being a direct-to-video movie, pretty much, it's way better looking and competently made, way more competently made than it has a right to be. And yeah, it's just a ruthlessly entertaining film. If you have seen either of these films, I would love to hear about it, because I feel like not a lot of people in my circles talk about these. And I think these are some fun movies worth talking about. I'm sure today is going to be another really short episode, but I promise you the next episode is going to be worth the sort of shorter episodes we've had here. So thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to the Monsters at Midnight YouTube channel. Have thoughts on today's episode or suggestions for future ones? Shoot us an email at monsters.midnight@gmail.com. Midnight spelled incorrectly. You can also follow me on Letterboxd at letterboxd.com/MattFlamingo. I try to write about everything I watch, so if you want thoughts on non-horror movies, you can head over there. Until next time, my tender rumblings.